It was the dawn of the third age of podcasting, 12 years after the B5 premiere. The Babylon podcast was a dream given form, its goal to discuss Babylon 5 episodes, arcs, and implications, to interview the cast and crew about their experiences and memories. It's a home away from home for fanboys, geek girls, and lurkers. It can be a silly place, but it's our last best hope for B5 fans. This is the podcast about the story of the last of the Babylon stations. The year is 2006. The name of this show is the Babylon Podcast.
Welcome to the inaugural show zero of the Babylon Podcast. My name is Summer Brooks.
My name is Tim Callender.
And I'm Jeffrey Willer.
And we are here to tell you what to expect on upcoming shows.
Well, I think one of the things you can certainly expect from the upcoming Babylon podcast is some in-depth conversation about the show, the individual episodes, each individual season, and I think the overall story that was told in the 5 years of the show.
And I'll be making contributions naked in a tub of Jell-O.
Thank you for that image. That was what was in the encounter suit all that time.
I may have a little bit of insight that I can share that would make it fun for everybody, bits that we haven't known previously and things that I'll probably just make up and lie about because it's been enough years I've forgotten most of what was true and what doesn't.
Okay. I personally want to hear all about the behind the scenes, the production, the geeky stuff that they don't tell us while the show's going on just to prevent too many people from passing out.
Yeah, I'm happy to contribute whatever I can in that respect because I'm all for not making people pass out.
Well, speaking of pass out, Jeffrey, you're wearing 750 metric tons of encounter suit walking around. Was there ever a moment where the legs went weak?
No, I don't think weak is quite... there are several times when I've tripped and fallen or stumbled, some dangerous moments, but I don't think they ever quite went weak on me. I was still youthful and strong in those days.
Well, I really, for one, cannot wait to hear all the in-depth stories. Any fan stories, fan encounters with cast member and crew at cons... That's what I want to hear, the little behind-the-scenes story, the little tiny anecdotes that just make the cast closer, more real, like more human for us instead of just being icons on a screen.
I think the other thing that's going to be really interesting about doing this podcast with Summer and myself, who are obviously big fans, Jeffrey was involved in the production, is that interplay. I think where Jeffrey has the obviously the insider knowledge of doing it, the fan perspective is a different thing too, and it's going to be interesting to see where those worlds coincide, where they differ, and that sort of thing.
I would think that these podcasts will give us the opportunity to maybe take the Babylon 5 dialogue to places where it hadn't previously been able to go in the venue of a sci-fi con or, a bulletin board or whatever other, opportunities have been out there before us. The part that really excites me is applying these relatively new technologies and distribution opportunities to get this information out at a time when Babylon 5 may very well be entering into still another life. America Online has entered into a deal with Warner Brothers and has licensed the Babylon 5 series to make it available in their broadband broadcasts that they will be, I hope, starting sometime this year.
And I definitely want to hear more about that.
Well, I think you make an interesting point there, Jeff, because one of the things that amongst many things that really intrigued me about the show was that I think B5 was one of the first shows where with the burgeoning internet fans could give input on any given episode as soon as it aired. And oftentimes you saw that reflected in aspects of the production. The one thing I'm remembering specifically is when the White Star first showed up at the beginning of year three, and on the interior panels on the bridge, there were these weird sort of intestine-looking things. The next day, the boards were filled with people going, "What was that?" And right after that, it was removed.
That's funny. I don't remember that the fan input had I would have blamed drunken art department people for not reinstalling a piece that had been in the original set, but maybe I was wrong about that.
No, I specifically remember a response from JMS on one of the Usenet groups saying almost exactly that. Everybody thought it was the most disgusting thing they'd seen. That's a little exaggeration.
Yeah, the one funny story I remember reading online was JMS was stuck somewhere in the middle of season three, and he threatened that there would be no more season three unless someone sent him the cheat codes to Quake Arena. That had me laughing.
Yes, and you can, and therein lies the reason he identified with the fans in the way that he did.
So, Jeffrey, in terms of actually wearing the suit, were you aware that what you were doing was something special, or were you just so wrapped up in the day to day getting the episodes done that you had not as much perspective?
No, Tim, I totally knew what I was getting into, and I fought, clawed, scratched, all. Lied, raped, pillaged. I did everything I could to make sure that I was the guy in the suit.
Were you the only guy in the suit?
No.
Or should?
No, I wasn't. There was. I was not part of the pilot episode, and there was someone in the suit during the pilot, and I don't recall who that was, but I believe he was a member of Optic Nerve Studios, which was the special effects house that built Kosh. And then in the first season, we only see Kosh a couple of times, and again, it was a guy named Russ who was in the suit. He was one of the Optic Nerve's special effects experts. Then I think maybe that was still first season also. There was one other guy who tried it one time, and he didn't like it. It didn't quite work out right, so it was just entering into the second season that it looked like the suit was going to be vacated, and I took an aggressive stance in posturing to make sure that I could be the guy that was going to be in it, and my efforts obviously succeeded.
To that point, you mentioned that there wasn't much Kosh in the first year. In the second year, we see more of them. And in fact, there's a scene between Sheridan and Kosh where he says to Kosh that once he came on board, he started showing up at all the council meetings. Now, was that as a result of you as an actor saying, "I want more screen time"?
Well, I would think that any human that tried to tell JMS, "I want more screen time, please write me into your show," would have been met with a hearty laugh. I don't think that, no, there was, no, everything that you saw was of Joe's device. It had nothing to do with anything. In all the time that I did Kosh, I really received very little input or direction from Joe. After the first couple times I was in the suit, I asked Joe because I hadn't heard anything from him. He didn't say anything the first time, and he didn't say anything the second time. I think it might have been about the third time I was in the suit. I said, am I doing okay here? Is this what you want? And in typical Joe fashion, he simply replied, "You'll know when you do it wrong."
Okay, well, I guess that is a good start, just a little teaser to let you, all of you listeners, know what you're in for the upcoming Babylon podcast. Signing off for now, I am Summer Brooks.
I'm Tim Callender.
This is Naked Jeffrey Kosh Willard.
And we will see you sometime in the future.
Enjoy the Jell-O.